Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Now watch this drive.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday. If you're not excited about Football Friday, I don't know. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Check that pulse. Coming up on the show, we got Awe, everybody's favorite game show, coming up at 2:30. 2 o'clock, we have got our Rivalry Trophy Championship game.
Dun, 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 dun.
Matchup for the ages. But where we got to start, hour number two, the saga has finally come to a close.
Womp, 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 womp.
The San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have agreed to a long-term extension, a four-year, $120 million contract that will keep him in the Bay Area through the 2028 season. All right. Hey. $76 million are guaranteed, $47 million to be paid to Ayuk before April Fool's Day 2025. How great would that be if John Lynch is like, gotcha!
Psych!
Not gonna pay you.
Not getting it.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent. But Ayuk gets his money. Now, on the surface, it seems like it is a four-year, $120 million deal, which I'm no math major, but that is $30 million a year. But when you go to the fact that $76 million of that is what is guaranteed, it is a four-year deal with $19 million per year for Brandon Ayuk. I found the reporting from Adam Schefter to be very interesting.
And also directly from the 49ers.
He said that the contract that Ayuk signed and agreed to is the exact same contract that was offered by the San Francisco 49ers at the beginning of this whole thing. They said, and they've been true to this, like, we gave him the best offer that we could give him because of what our cap situation is moving forward. And knowing we have to pay Brock Purdy, knowing that we have to pay Trent Williams, knowing that we're going to have some tough decisions down the road, this is the most that we could do. Ayuk tried to flex his muscles. And look, he went out and he fell flat on his face, trying to get a bigger deal at a place that he wanted to be at. And I think that that is one thing that you look at and you say, hey, the value in what smart teams are going to do is they're not going to throw too much money if they cannot do it for the future of their organization and keeping a Super Bowl window open. It's not about 4 years down the road. It's about the 2 years that San Francisco truly has to win a Super Bowl.
There was another line in here. I'm trying to find it from one of the newsbreakers that I thought was interesting, that it was released 7, 8, 9 hours later and the kind of towards the end of the night, which they kind of, that's when stuff gets kind of slid in underneath there. One of them was Diana Rossini's note about how they were only going to trade Ayuk if they got a top flight receiver in return somehow, which she also said that they offered a third round pick for Cortland Sutton, and Cortland Sutton as a top flight receiver is, I didn't expect to hear those two words be linked together.
I've kind of stood by this. I think Cortland Sutton is valued more across the NFL than what he has been able to produce over the last couple of years. See the offense being an absolute disaster. Still a good receiver. But if you're Denver, like a third round pick for Sutton,
I think you might
hop on board with that.
Yeah, that was where I went with that.
I think what they did though is said, we can't do that if we're going to start our rookie.
It's fair.
You know, we can't say we're betting on the future. Go drown when Bo Nix. We're going to go have fun, especially with the struggles at Troy Franklin, who they thought would be an immediate impact player for him or for them, wasn't producing the way they thought he would out of the gate. I think that that's probably why Denver's like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to read the temperature of the room. But if that would have happened, they would have dealt Brandon Ayuk not to Denver. They would have dealt him to Pittsburgh. And that would have been the final piece to a three-team trade, was a third-round pick goes from San Francisco to Denver, okay? And Cortland Sutton comes to San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk goes to Pittsburgh. And I that would have made everything rest a little bit easier. And it would have made sense, really, for all three of those teams, except for Denver, when they made the decision, they're going to start Bo Nix, and they didn't hit the home run in the draft in the fourth round sleeper in Troy Franklin like they thought they were going to.
The interesting thing was, this started with Ayuk wanting basically the same deal that Amon-Ra St. Brown got.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he got? The same deal Amon-Ra got.
Didn't Amon-Ra get...
he 77 guaranteed.
He got 77 guaranteed? Yeah. Okay, well. But that was the best offer that San Francisco could have given him.
This is kind of what I was saying from the jump with this whole thing, though, is that both sides were being stupid and stubborn about this. And this, and again, as much as Ayuk took the deal that was originally offered, Rossini's information there about only trading Ayuk if they got a top-flight receiver kind of lets you know that he may have been able to find more money. And he did with the Patriots. And perhaps they couldn't get that. It wasn't about him not necessarily wanting to go to New England,
mm-hmm.
which even if he didn't, he clearly was able to generate the money. But there was no deal that made sense for the 49ers in the sense of they weren't going to do it without getting a top flight receiver in return.
Yeah. Do you see the Athletic a anonymous agent poll that they released? There's a lot that was in there, including a little nugget on Aaron Rodgers that we'll get to in a little bit. But they pulled a bunch of agents around the NFL and asked them, you know, things like, you know, what are the biggest disaster of teams to work with, best franchises to work with. The Eagles and the 49ers were rated the top franchises and best front offices in the NFL. And that right there also leads me to believe this was more Brandon Ayuk than it was the San Francisco 49ers front office. Because if agents around the NFL are saying, no, these are teams we like to work with.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying that Ayuk is faultless or blameless at all. That's not all.
Well, I'm saying I think he should shoulder the majority of this, of why this lasted so long
I will
and
never,
why it got to this point.
I will never go that route as long as Jed York owns that franchise. because him and Jerry Jones are notorious for doing the same bleeping thing every single time, which is, here's the money, here's the most we have. In the end, that's what they get. Every single time. And it, there's
what is wrong with that? Is saying, here's the money, this is what we have, take it. Wouldn't that be like, okay.
No, but my point is like, why? Like,
I feel like that's good to work with.
No, I'm saying, why is there a holdout? Because if you, it's as simple as, here's the max amount of money we can give you.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any holdout.
Yeah.
Other organizations.
That's why I say it's the player.
No. Other organizations don't deal with this as routinely as those two organizations do.
Yeah. Well, because they've drafted really well. Both of them, we've talked about this, they both drafted really well, and you've got to, you're sitting there staring down what the ledger's going to look like, and you're going, we got to pay him, we got to pay him, we got to pay him, and you get into a bind that way. I mean, that a lot of teams, they pay their quarterback an exorbitant amount of money, and you can just go to every agent and say, look at that deal, that's why. With both of those franchises, in Dallas is a little bit different because they'll overpay Ezekiel Elliott for some godforsaken reason, but with San Francisco, it's we got to pay Bosa, we got to pay Werner, we've got to pay Debo, we've got to pay Kittle. We know we're going to have to pay Purdy. We're going to have to pay Trent Williams, and we're paying Trent Williams right now. Like they're sitting there going, look, all of these guys are not top end high dollar guys like a quarterback is, where you're getting a quarterback with a $55 million cap number on it, but you have a host of $30 million guys that are all just kind of in order because they're elite at their positions. And when you have a bunch of those guys, you know, a guy like Brandon Ayuk's like, I want that money too. And they're like, well, we're already paying Kittle, Trent Williams, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. We're already paying all these guys at the top dollar. And that's a little bit of a tougher situation for San Francisco than it is Dallas, because Dallas will just be like, ah, we want to keep you. We're going to pay you all the money. And then here we are. Dak, we want to keep you, but we've already given up way too much money for everybody else. That doesn't make sense. And nor does you wanting $62 million.
Yeah. Did you see his quote?
About him not wanting to negotiate and be a distraction during the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like a quote. That seems like a distraction.
I didn't think of that, but yeah, you're
just
right.
Shut up. Either shut up or talk. Don't talk about shutting up or shut up about talking. I'm so sick and tired of the doublespeak.
Yeah.
I need to be better, but it's everybody else's fault. Why do people hate the Cowboys and Dak Prescott? Oh, I don't know. Zero self-awareness. Absolutely none. That's probably where I'd start.
That's pretty good.
Just unbelievable.
Pretty good jumping off
point. It's the kind of thing that, like, it's so dumb. If you wrote it into a plot, you're like, come on, guys, we're laying it on too thick here.
Yeah.
That's the Cowboys in a nutshell.
A little. All right. Who has more power than any other player in the NFL, which has made his team, quote, in disarray? Next on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, I brought up that athletic survey that I was telling you about with the the agents. This is what the agents, by the way, five said the Eagles, five said the 49ers on the best run franchises in the NFL. Chiefs picked up four votes, Packers three, Vikings, Steelers, Ravens, Dolphins, each two apiece. This is what the quotes were from agents on the 49ers. The way they treat people and don't skip on expenses, highly professional. Another one said, you have to fit within their culture, but they allow players and employees to be themselves, and they win even while getting their poach staffed every year by teams.
They're what?
They're staff poached.
There we go.
What did I say? Poached staffed?
Yeah,
poached. Reading head hard.
Yeah. English school.
The most unstable franchises in the NFL. Care to take a guess on the most unstable franchise in the NFL?
Look, it's not a character flaw. It is a built-in part of the Raiders.
Cowboys, Raiders, maybe the Browns.
Panthers.
Browns not picking up any votes. Panthers, number one.
Mm-hmm.
9 first-place votes. Organizational stability comes from the owner, and the front office needs more time than the owner. A strong QB can keep a team viable regardless of the front office, but what's their plan? I think another one said, I think the headline for this section should be that for the first time in my career, most NFL organizations are relatively competent. I can only think of a few that aren't run well. Starting with Carolina because of Tepper's involvement. They didn't get a big haul for the Brian Burns trade either. Your Raiders coming in second. Mm-hmm. 7 first-place votes there. Then the Jets, Jags, Cowboys, Cardinals, all with 3 apiece. Here's what they say about your Raiders owner. The owner frequently makes significant changes. He put Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler in charge and fired them after less than 2 seasons. Now the Raiders have an inexperienced coach in Antonio Pierce, a retread GM hire in Tom Telesco. Organizations start at the top, and Davis doesn't provide stability. That's
well,
tough.
The last couple GMs they've had were, newer GMs and newer opportunities, and they sucked. So, Look, Telesco did well as a GM with the Chargers.
He did okay. I think that was like the ownership being a mess, but yeah. I think that's kind of what they're saying here is, ownership is a mess.
I want Mark Davis out. Number one, he's broke.
Tom Brady's in.
He's also not rich.
Oh, yeah.
He's not even the richest person in his own family.
Oh, no, they're divorced now.
I know, but they still.
Maybe the alimony.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he probably gets alimony is insane. Does he get child support?
No, I don't think that he's around very much. I don't think that he's around much at all.
The Raiders' dysfunction is more military-esque, where it's cheeky and fun for the most part. Now, don't get me wrong, Henry Ruggs not cheeky or fun. And it's part of what they are, and it's fine when they're winning. The problem is they haven't won in 2 decades.
Here's a good one. This is good for Seahawks fans. Best talent evaluator. John Schneider picking up 4 votes, tied with Brett Veach. So Seahawks and Chiefs go number one. But this is where it gets a little bit interesting here. All right. picking up a tie for fifth with Chris Ballard of the Colts, Eric DaCosta of the Ravens, Brad Holmes of the Lions, was Seahawks assistant general manager Nolan Teasley. So of the top five vote getters, the Seahawks had two of the best talent evaluators in the entire NFL.
I mean, how many drafts have they missed on?
They've missed on a couple, but when they knock it out of the park, boy howdy. And they do it with late round picks year in and year out.
I'm not surprised to see the Packers on here, though. The Packers are and have been for 30 years.
No doubt about it.
And it doesn't matter who it is.
Yep.
That's the insane thing with the Packers. You can just put whoever the Packers GM is.
Yeah.
Like that's a holistic cultural thing built into their organization because they promote from within and they build you up from the ground
training
up.
And serving. But here's the one that's catching a lot of headlines today. Is that as part of that most unstable franchise, the Jets were in that tie for third along with the Jags, Cowboys, and Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what an agent said about the New York Jets. There is complete disarray over there. Look at how they've handled Aaron Rodgers. Has one player had more power than him? He skipped minicamp. They've been unable to convert him into a team player. The vibe inside the building is terrible.
That's an agent who has a client there.
100%.
That's the only way you know that.
100%. Or an agent who has a client that said, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah. Somebody who has been there.
Yep.
Because like this is one of the things like when you cover a professional sport and you're in a locker room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this not because I'm carrying water for the Blazers. The vibes last year, even in the hellscape that it was, were still good. Like, yeah. I've been in bad locker rooms. I've been in, like, organizations.
End of Nate McMillan era.
Yeah. I mean, literal mutiny. Guys getting fired. Like,
and guys just sad.
And not only that, getting the hell out.
Yeah.
You just, like, if you're in the building, you know.
Yep.
And you I don't want to say keep it to yourself, but it's like, yeah, God, this is another thing to add to this.
Look, and you don't have to be losing and in the dregs for you to have that feeling and those vibes.
The Eagles. Yep. I mean, it clearly the vibes are an absolute S show.
Yep.
And you saw it last year. Was it the final six games? It was just like, oh God.
I would be I'm going to be interested to see as there's more time and he gets further removed from it. We'll get this out of him. Excuse me. Yeah, the hiccups. We'll get this out of him eventually. But Jason Kelsey's true assessment of what happened. Like
when he gets a couple years away.
When we finally get that because
the PR tour stops.
Yeah. I mean, and he's always going to be an Eagles guy through and through. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus, especially guys that are still in that organization and still there. But when enough time gets removed, I really would love to hear his insight and his take on what happened last year at the end of that season. Because it wasn't just injuries. There was so much more.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even blame the injuries. I would blame the other stuff as more impactful. Another line in here, though, about the Broncos. The dysfunction between the GM and the coach over who is calling the shots. Somehow Sean Payton has wrestled control from George Payton.
Yeah. The head scratcher there.
Interesting.
And that is always set you up for success. Right?
When they're
when you have infighting at the top of the franchise. Yeah. And that's really because Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, they were known in New Orleans for having such a close and good working relationship with each other. And to have this kind of come to the forefront, no bueno.
The other one in here, the Cowboys, will they extend Dak? 18 of the 31 respondents said yes.
It's Dallas. It's what they do.
Yes, I can't imagine Jerry letting him go.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I hope they tie that anchor to that franchise.
Is Jerry Jones like a kid with a toy? Mm-hmm. Even though like the kid's like, I haven't played with that toy, but we can't get rid of that one. I'm gonna keep that.
He's a bit of a hoarder.
Keep that toy. I don't really like that toy anymore. Mm-hmm. That toy is old. I haven't used it in a while, but I want to keep that toy. And then as a parent, in this situation, you'd be like, all right, well, give me your allowance and you can keep that toy. And Jerry, the kid, is like, here, take it. Take my allowance. I'm fine. I want that toy here still, just so I know I can play with it if I want to.
Just really expensive. All right, coming up on our worst day on the web, I have a new word for you.
Oh.
Rodenticide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ponder that. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
And they win even while getting their poach staffed.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Every now and then, I come across a story where I'm like, that's going to be our worst day on the web.
Okay, hit me.
Just by the headline. I have barely glanced at the story, but the headline was so enticing that I was just like, this is a Mad Lib. Mice on remote island that eat albatrosses alive sentenced to death by bombing. Conservationists say
a rodenticide
bomb could save them.
A rodenticide. Okay. So wait, they're going to bomb the island and be like, we need to save the albatrosses. Drop a bomb, baby. Like the albatrosses aren't going to die?
Chem warfare, baby.
So chemical warfare, it's only going to kill the rodents.
I'm sure this will definitely not have any side effects like create Godzilla.
Not one bit. I've seen enough movies to know that this is how Godzilla is like created. This is how the evil monster comes up. We're going to have like mutant. They're going to recreate dinosaurs. They're going to turn these things into stegosauruses.
How are the mice big enough to eat an albatross?
Going to turn it into Isla Nublar.
Yeah.
I've seen, what was that, Man in the Iron Mask? And also, what was it? Oh, boy. Now this is going to send me down the rabbit hole. I don't know what mob movie it was.
Is this the blowtorch in the can?
Yeah, with the with the rat. You have that. Man in the Iron Mask had, like, they had, like, they put the rat inside and let that go. That was, like, medieval torture.
Yeah.
They'd put a rat in a can with blowtorch, but they also did, was it The Departed?
Or was it...
One of those Boston, you know what I'm talking about. One of those had the rat in a can on a blowtorch. You put it on the guy's stomach and he eats his way through.
Oh, God, it's Too Fast, Too Furious.
They did that in that show. They did it in one of those mob movies, too. I don't know if I've ever seen. No, Too Fast, Too Furious is the second one, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah, seen that one. But that's a long way to say. Yeah, you don't have to be huge. They'll gang up on you. All you just got to do is get that albatross.
Well, I mean,
in the right state, it's sneak attack at night, and you start eating away at it.
They have you know how big an albatross is. Like, an albatross is a bird the size of a freaking person, dude.
Yeah,
like they've got a 12-foot wingspan. They're huge birds.
Yeah.
So how the hell is a rat, a mouse eating an albatross?
Gang up on them. Just gang up on them.
Just throwing up sets?
Yeah. I mean, just you're sitting there and you got the red mice and the blue mice and the orange mice and the purple mice, and they tie their
bandanas together?
Yeah. They come up and they get you.
So this is on Marion Island. It's an island between South Africa and Antarctica. And humans are the ones who screwed this up. They introduced mice to the island in the 19th century.
Oh, no way. Humans did something wrong?
They have developed a taste for the wandering albatross, which that's that absolutely monstrous albatross.
Is this guy too big to fly? Maybe that's how they get them, is that they're like, yeah, you can't. We know you can't fly. Gotcha.
That says they can spend hours in flight without rest or a single flap.
Oh.
So they can just get up there, and they got those big old wings, and they can just whoop, stay up in the air for literal hours.
Oh, man.
So they can, they not only can they fly, they can like super fly. They are a blaxploitation movie. They are super.
But can
fly.
They super dupa fly?
Yeah, see? Birdsploitation?
I see what you guys are doing.
You don't like it?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
There we go.
I don't like it. I love it.
To give people with nothing else better to do with their time something to do. The Mouse Free Marion Project, a collaboration between South African government and BirdLife South Africa, is trying to raise $29 million to drop 660 tons of rodenticide-laced pellets onto the island.
Yeah, this is going to go horribly.
But nothing wrong with 660 tons of rat poison being dumped on an island.
I feel like this is how Dr. Evil gets his sharks with laser beams, because there's a lot of sharks off this coast of South Africa.
Freaking sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their freaking heads?
Laser beams.
1.32
Not sea bass.
Million pounds.
That is insane.
Of rat poison.
I don't know who... I'm an idiot, and I think that this is a bad idea. You know? Like, this is something that, like... I don't know if, like, the people calling the shots in South Africa are a bunch of dudes at a bar with a few pops in them. Because I feel like this is a drunk idea. And they're like, you know what? Sounds good. We should probably do it. And nobody in his right state of mind... I should be like, this is going to work out really well for us. Over what period of time are they going to do this? Like, are they going to just blanket the area?
Oh yeah, it's full.
We're
going to
do it all at once
in the winter of 2027. They are going.
All right,
to,
so they get 3 months.
This is going to be like.
So it's
German blitzkrieg.
It's a massive issue they're super worried about in 2 years. Yeah.
Got to make sure they're probably doing.
Because I'm gonna count this winter as winter of 2025.
Sure,
I think I'm gonna be fair with that.
Okay. They're probably looking at this in the sense of like from like climate and like best potential, like the mice, you know, kind of being down for the winter, coming up for the spring. It like leaks into the food supply. You know,
yeah, but you wait for South 2 years. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it'd be in the summer.
They're in winter right now.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so
it would be summer.
Yeah, so they're going. Three.
Well, maybe this is their winter of 2027. It doesn't specify.
So we're at the tail end of that. Yeah. So, like, they couldn't like push this through to be a.
Well, maybe they don't have the money. Maybe they're hoping to raise the money by then.
Oh, right. Again, it's and hope that the rats don't eat all the albatross before then.
And
who
they're
cares?
Being dropped by helicopter.
Sweet.
It does say by striking in winter when the mice are most hungry, the conservationists hope to eradicate the entire mouse population of up to 1 million individuals. The CEO says we have to get rid of every last mouse. Uh-huh. If there was a male and female remaining, they could breed and eventually get back to where they are now. They first arrived on the island, the mice.
And then we're going to have just a bunch of inbred mice running around.
Right. Well, I mean, they are already. They began their reign of terror by decimating the island's invertebrates and feasting on seabird eggs. By 2003, the mice were eating seabird chicks alive. And now, a decade later, the mice have figured out how they can take on adults, too, by hopping on them.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly eating them until they succumb.
Yeah. That's like the frog in the pot theory, right?
Albatrosses are defenseless against mice because they didn't evolve alongside terrestrial predators.
Yeah, so they're dumb.
Oh, my God.
All right.
The whole idea, like, they don't have any mechanism by which they might defend themselves. I don't know. Shake?
Yeah. They're like, ow. Ow.
It's like a lemming. Ow. It's the dumbest animal.
Well, like guess I'm going to die now.
Just ow, quit it.
Yeah.
Ow, quit it.
Yeah. And then you're dead.
All of these albatrosses are just Ralph Wiggum, just giggling. I'm in danger. Like, what the hell? You can't, like, if you've got one on you, can't go for a swim? Take it out to the ocean?
Yeah, this is a great text. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. HBO will be making a Chernobyl-like show about this in 40 years. Yep.
The island that man cannot go to because they poisoned it to death with rat.
And you know
poison.
What?
Either that or the Sci-Fi Channel is going to get their hands on this story.
Sharknado. Ratnado.
Ooh.
What is it called?
Rodenticide.
Rodenticide.
Yeah.
Rodenticide NATO.
Yeah. It'll be like a rodent version
this
of
is
Toxic
like,
Avenger
this
or
is
something.
Like the day after tomorrow where it's like instead of a hurricane, it's like, like a rodent, a rat poison hurricane.
Yeah.
That just tears through Africa.
Is there anything else? It doesn't sound like anything else lives on this island. If the albatross is so dumb, it never had a predator, and they're like, yeah, just go ahead and eat me. I'm fine.
I love this. This is the literal last line. So
not worried about anything else dying.
Well, the rodenticide at the heart of new eradication strategy, in contrast, should only kill mice because it doesn't affect Marion Island's native invertebrates, sure. And the seabirds usually feed at sea.
Yeah.
So
there's no way these birds are dumb enough to eat the rat poison. They are dumb enough to get eaten live by a rat, but there's no way they're going to be dumb enough to be like, I'll try that.
Yeah. And spread that to the entire bird population.
Yeah.
The other part of this is there was a previous attempt to control them, the mice.
Yeah.
Guess what it was?
Make them pets. Cats. Snakes.
Ding.
Cats?
They dropped feral cats on the island in 1948.
Operation Garfield Drop.
And what did they
use?
They took five
cats to the island in 1948, yeah. But the offsprings went feral and hunted the birds.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So, yeah, we've tried to fix this once by introducing something else to the island that wasn't originally there after introducing to the island something that wasn't already there, and we're going to fix it again the third time by introducing something to the island that wasn't already there.
Have these guys never watched Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner?
All right, so can we just say that maybe Darwin and the, like, only the strong survive? Maybe the albatross.
Dumb bird.
If you get, like, we're like, hey, dude, you keep getting eaten by these rats, and then they're
No. They are literal mice. Okay. They are not rats.
Okay, so you get eaten by this mice, and we're going to try to save you, bud. We're going to bring in these cats, and they're like, bah, derp. Okay, get eaten by them cats now? These birds, man. These birds are dumb. Back to that text about the Chernobyl show. I like that he said HBO will be making a documentary about this. He didn't say Max, because I believe in 40 years, they're going to realize this was such a bad rebrand. We're not calling it Max anymore. We're going to go back to HBO. Thank you for that text. That's 3D chess you were playing there.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we have rodenticide. Which I'm not against. The rats and mice are creepy.
I mean, yeah.
Don't like it.
You want to have some fun with audio?
I love audio, right. And I love fun.
We'll have some fun with audio.
Both of these things are great.
On Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. If you watched college football last night, there's a really good chance that you may or may not have come across this ad. It debuted a couple days ago. Nick Saban's got some free time, and he's having some fun with it.
Is there a pool?
Check-in time is 3.
It's 2:55.
I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Have a seat. As your host, I have some rules. First, no showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's no streaming, only cable television.
Any games for the kids?
No games, no fun. The kids aren't even allowed in the house. That's the rule.
He's now mowing the lawn. Nick Saban on the riding lawnmower.
There's a great barbecue outside, but don't touch that. How'd you guys get inside? 2 flush maximum per bathroom visit.
Yes, Coach.
In the hot tub?
You guys got about 10 minutes because this is daddy time in the tub.
Daddy time in the tub.
Okay, I'm going to have to help you with the editing of that, but I believe there is a way that we can take the hot tub bubbling out of the background and we can get a clean daddy time in the tub by Nick Saban. I need that in my life.
Yeah.
I need daddy time in the tub by Nick Saban.
Non-coaching Nick Saban is so good.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. That is an ad lib, because I don't think anybody's writing for Nick Saban, daddy time in the tub. I bet he's like, no, I got something. At the Saban compound, we call this daddy time in the tub. And I'm going to say that right now.
Perfect.
Because if the 70-year-old man who makes these nuts jokes regularly to college kids, he definitely has daddy time in the tub.
Yeah, there's something that more and more the best characters are showing themselves, and they refuse to do it while playing.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to turn a little corner with McAfee being drunk and high on air.
Hey, he held it together sober today.
He did.
In Morgantown, he was sober.
Did you see Jesse Palmer, though, in Joe Tessitore?
No.
In the booth for that game in Ireland?
No. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, well, I mean,
were they a little haggard?
Oh, win in Ireland, the Irish do.
They only showed them a couple times because I don't think they wanted to show them.
Yeah. But this, great point.
But there's there has been a shift, and it's not a lacking of professionalism. It's not taking this so seriously.
Yeah.
And I think one of the guys that is going to be responsible for this massive evolution of this and stop trying to prop yourself up is Jeff Teague. And there's a very specific reason why. You've caught a couple of the Club 520 clips, right? Okay, I've got one here from that he had just the other day. And the reason I want to play this is just listen to how he describes himself and everything else that goes on with this.
They popcorn my joint. They used to make me buy donuts in the morning.
Oh, shit. I always forget. Come on, man. I'll get them next time.
They would never eat them. So I just started putting a box in my locker. Put it back out every morning. It was finally a night and smooth. You know, it had to be smooth. He come in. He want a donut. I put the box out. The donuts are green. They molded everything.
What the f***? Ben, you see this shit?
Next thing you know, Al Horford, my dog, they about to popcorn your car.
Damn, Al told you.
Shout out to Al. So half the season, I'm putting my key in my tight. Finally, I get to play the last game of the season. I forgot. I had a great game. I had 26-15. I'm all hyped. They ruled me on. Yeah, Rook. We get in the locker room. Everybody usually showered. Everybody already dressed. They yeah. All right, boy, we going out tonight. We going to see you. I come up the steps. Everybody got flashlights on me. I'm like, what the f*** going on? I walk to my car. I open the door. Popcorn come flying out. Man, what the f***? I look at Smooth.
I'm going to flatten your tires.
Bib, you know who did it, Bill Rook. See you, boy. Tyler, all right, man. They paid me $5,000 to do this, man. And he was like, it was all of them. They all came together. I'm like, where my iPad at? He was like, oh, yeah, it's in your trunk. I opened the trunk. It's full of popcorn. Ah, they ain't playing. But they was my dogs. So I went to the club with that popcorn.
Did Smooth give you something to get a detail?
He gave me $5. I ain't get a detail. My brother said, $5,000, I'm excited. I'll do this.
I love that.
It's the self-deprecation.
Yeah.
It's the allowing yourself to be real and stop trying to build your own legend.
But there is a finite amount of professional athletes that have the ability to do that. And broadcasters too. I mean, yes. You talk about Tessitore and Palmer. Yeah. I mean, very few of them can, because guys like Dak Prescott.
Oh God.
I mean, the times that he's tried, it's been
crazy.
So
it makes your skin crawl.
Brutal,
yeah.
To watch.
You have to be. It has to be a natural thing. But there was this 5, 6, 7 years ago. There was this every bit of PR had to be scripted. Every appearance, yep. It got so buttoned up there around because you had the real social media push of Twitter and Instagram. And everything was a soundbite, and everything would use against you. Players across sports and coaches, Belichick, across sports buttoned everything up. Everything was locked down. No one showed any character whatsoever.
And in a large part in that, we got to look back to, you have to look back at Michael Jordan was manufactured.
Oh, yeah. Every last bit of it.
And he was the most successful pitch man that we have seen in sports. And nobody knew who Michael Jordan was. We didn't know what his personality was, because if we would have known, I don't think a lot of people would have really connected or liked Michael Jordan all that much.
No, there's a 0% chance that anybody would have liked him.
So as people said, all right, how can we be like Mike? All of a sudden, it was hey, maybe we should show a little bit of personality, be a little bit different, and show who we really are. And then there was this flood of, we had a lot of arrests. We had a lot of guys that were stepping in and saying things that backfired on them. And then it became, nope, everybody's got to button it up. We can't know anything about anybody, because that's how Michael Jordan did it, and that's how he was successful.
And it's it became the... It's why what we're talking about with college football, the disruptors, It's been about 10 years now where the disruptors have shown, no, you can be a character. You can be, like, look at the most successful endeavors right now of athletes. It's the Kelseys, who are themselves. It's Max Crosby. It's Joel Long. Like, if you look at just in
Chris
the
NFL, Long.
Or Chris Long.
Yeah.
The God, it's Twitter handle always gets me.
Yeah.
But the it's guys who are just bussing with the boys.
Well, and like, I think what we are finding is that the catch-all marketing and bundling everything up, and we're going to treat all of them the same. That is gone.
Monoculture
now.
Is gone. You
now,
can't do that.
You're not going to have the ability, like these, the marketing people, the ad agencies are saying, all right, who do we got? Mm-hmm. Because if we have a guy who's dull and we don't want to push him out there and his personality out there.
Go Mike Trout him.
Let's protect him at all costs. Close everything down. He's still going to be marketable. And like Dak Prescott still has national ads and stuff, right? But it's not he's not going to have a podcast. Leave that to Micah Parsons, where they're saying, no, you have a personality that will connect with people, engage with people. And so the catch-all is,
CJ Stroud go to Japan.
The catch-all is gone.
Yeah.
And that's for the betterment of
everyone,
us knowing our athletes. Mm-hmm. And if you are saying, I want to know more about this guy because he's really damn good at what he does in his craft, but we don't get to hear a whole lot about him. Well, that's because they're saying you don't want to know about him. Like, I mean, really, like,
they're either boring or what you will find out you will not like.
Yeah. And I think that's okay.
Yes.
And that's what guys are going to make a lot of money on. And there's going to be guys who don't listen, no less, and are going to be over the top. Right. Well, Ant Edwards has a little bit of this, too.
Oh, God.
Where he comes out and he says, like, these things completely out of pocket. And then you're going, I'm not so sure about that one, boss.
Bring gas.
But things like that are great. But then he just keeps going. And it's like, okay, we're going to have to pull the reins back and let him go. Pull the reins back and let him go. And that's going to work for him eventually. But you're right on the guys like the Kelce brothers, guys like Julian Edelman, who now has a podcast, too, that's wildly successful. You're going to start seeing more and more of their personality. And I think a guy who transitioned and was like in both of these phases where he was caught up at the beginning of his career in the don't say anything, keep your personality to yourself. And then now, as his career has gone on, the times have changed and he's become more established and feels comfortable with it. Steph Curry is a guy that we're seeing more and more of his personality. It's not for everybody.
No.
But for the people that it is, they eat it up.
They eat it up.
And it's working for him right now. And now that he has his own production company, we're going to start seeing more and more of it post-career once it's done.
So it's just an interesting shift in how things are being done.
No doubt.
All right, speaking of shift, let's shift into hour number three, where we have our final matchup of the best college football rivalry trophies and all of college football with a major asterisk. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.